When you think about the Olympic Games, you think about sport and competition.
But have you ever wondered what it takes for a country to actually put the games on?
Hi, I'm Molly Beatner.
And I'm Caitlin Coleman. And we are first years at Claremont McKenna College.
We'd like to thank the Keck Center for International and Strategic Studies for sponsoring this podcast.
In this episode, Dave Stowe talks to us about his role searching for Olympic venues to host athletes, Ontario and the 5C's involvement with the games, political complications for both athletes and workers attaining visas, his unique experience as a gymnast growing up in Orange County, then traveling around the world, and much more.
Now, let's hop into Race to the Games, an LA 2028 podcast.
We're here today with Dave Stowe, president of Stowe Sports Management, former associate director of the U.S. Olympic Training Center in Chula Vista, and an all-around experienced person in the world of the Olympics.
Do you think you could give us just some background information about what you do and what your role in the 2028 Olympics is?
Yep. All right. I'll try and keep it simple because it can get all spiderwebbed real easy. But so my background, I worked for the U.S. Olympic Committee for a little over 20 years. Our headquarters is in Colorado Springs, but we have Olympic Training Center in Chula Vista, which is South San Diego. And so I ran that for 21 years. And then after the games in 2016, the Olympic Committee decided they don't want to own property anymore. So they gifted that property to the city of Chula Vista. So now it still operates under the same premise, but is a city-owned and city-operated facility. So the Olympic Committee got out of that operation. So now they just fund teams to go train there. So kind of same model, they just don't have to pay all the maintenance and upkeep of it. But during that time at Chula Vista, I was responsible for kind of like the daily operation of it, making sure it worked. It was very much like a college campus, except you're going out to train, right? So you guys kind of understand the sport model. You know, you have US soccer, USA track and field, USA rowing. All those NGBs would come in, book a weekend, book a week, book a month. Some athletes live there full time, but they went in and basically did all their preparation for nationals, world championships, Olympic games. So we would meet with all the coaches, make sure we had the appropriate venue set up for them. We had the full surface in the dining room, so nutrition, the medical, all the support services. And then during the Olympics, we would all go to the games and do different roles at the game. So sometimes I was assigned to a team as a liaison. Sometimes I was in the hospitality section or the friends and family section. Sometimes I spent weeks at the airport just collecting all of our athletes and coaches as they came into the country and made sure they got out of the airport okay, right? So different games, different experiences. And then I left that facility because I stayed on for the new management for a couple years. I left that facility in 2019, moved out to the Midwest and ran a youth sports complex for a while. But heading into LA, I knew I wanted to touch the Olympic movement again. So a couple buddies of mine, we got together collectively. I think I'm the one with the least experience. I have 8 Olympic games. The next guy has 10 and the next guy has 20. So we have a few Olympic games experiences under our belt. But we realized that every country that goes to the Olympic games needs to come in a little bit early, right? You can't just show up the day before the village opens, check into the village and then compete the next day. That's just not going to work, right? So most of the countries come out probably 2, sometimes 3 weeks before the Olympics start and they get acclimated. However, there's no access to the Olympic venues, can't get into the village. So you need a place to stay, you need food, and you need your training venues. So we've spent probably the last year and a half, almost 2 years, literally scouring Southern California from Santa Barbara to San Diego, looking at every possible training location. Most are universities, some are private clubs, but Some go down to like city college level, but really what we found are the universities that have housing, quality venues, especially track and field and swimming. Those are the two key ones. Those are the ones that the world wants to go stay at.
Quick note, both Caitlin and I are swimmers at CMS and have swam our whole lives. We told Dave, which was exciting, and we had the opportunity to ask him a few questions about the sport. As swimmers, we especially appreciate the Olympics for its international competition and unity. That's one of the reasons why we are excited to discuss and learn more about this topic. Now, back to the show.
Countries come up 2 weeks before the games. They want to get acclimated. But really, as we look at all the locations, so UC Santa Barbara, Long Beach State, Cal State Fullerton, I'll say Claremont Colleges, but when I say Claremont Colleges, it's specifically CMS and Pomona, right? Because those are the two with the athletic departments and all the venues. And then you even look at UC Riverside, and then you keep on going south into San Diego, and you have San Diego State, UC San Diego. Anyone with a 50-meter pool, a track and field venue, and a grass field, which is getting harder to find. Southern California, everybody's moving to artificial turf, but especially rugby, they don't want to play on artificial turf. They want to play on natural grass, just like they do internationally and in the Olympics. And even soccer would rather be on natural grass. So those are the venues we look for, and that starts narrowing down the pool, right? The Coliseum is going to have track and field. Swimming is actually going to be in SoFi Stadium, so that's pretty cool, right? 60,000 people watching a swim meet—that'll be all right. But then, Long Beach will probably have a little pocket of events. They don't know where they're going to put some of the cycling events. So there's, everything's going to be scattered around. So some areas are just really going to be difficult to secure. So like we would love to get into Long Beach State, but Long Beach State is kind of tied up by the LA organizer. So it's not for rent. So we can't get in there. So as we're looking literally through everything, we happened to find our way out to Claremont and, met with Miriam and Erica. And actually, I've known Steve Graves for ever, like back in the 80s when I had hair and he had no gray hair. So it's fun to reconnect with someone at the university. But we just found that the Claremont Colleges really had a great setup, right? You had double the athletic venues. And in some case, if you're they're building another track. So we're gonna have what, three track and field venues? This is gonna be awesome. But multiple pools, all the gymnasium spaces, and then the housing right there. It just made a really neat collection of venues. So really that's one of the premier spaces. But we've started touring around different countries. So we're probably on 9 or 10 different countries that we've hauled around Southern California, from Australia, Italy, Ireland, Netherlands, French. They just get keeps going, and some of them are chasing medals, and some of them just participating in the games is their experience, right? When you think about all the athletes that are coming to the games, only a small percentage win medals. For so many of the Olympians, being an Olympian, getting the sweats, and going to opening ceremonies, that's the event, right? And so, something that we're also packaging in our presentation to all these countries is proximity to other things in Southern California. Shopping, they love shopping. Everybody around the world loves shopping. Proximity to Disneyland, proximity to the mountains and Palm Springs. There's just certain Southern California cultural things that everybody wants to do after the Olympics too, right? So, but let's say I'm just going to try and pick a what I say a participating country rather than a performing country. So Colombia, right? They're gonna have probably two potential medals, right? And man, when a country like that wins a medal, it's a national celebration. It's wild. And then we get mad that we don't win 100. So just kind of a fun thing. But they'll probably send, say, 75 athletes, or if they send both their soccer teams, we're up to 150 athletes. And for them to come out and get 2 weeks of training, good food, live in a community such as Claremont that has a really neat, like intimate feel, right? The little, I think it's your little village or downtown area, you know, to go and have a dinner, have some coffee, walk around, go shopping, be able to sleep right next to your venue, get up, train. You're not going to train crazy. You're just going to keep your body in tune. So you're probably going to do one session a day. And then your family can come out and stay in the same area, get on the little light rail and head right on into LA. We probably wouldn't do that as locals, but foreigners would, like, they'll eat that up. They'll do that in a heartbeat.
I was wondering if you could speak to how sort of international politics kind of play into what you do as a business and like working with different countries' Olympic committees.
Right. It's always changing, right? So, kind of going backwards. So I was a gymnast back in my day. I went to UC Santa Barbara. When I was on the national team, everything we did was on paper, right? So to get our visa to go over and compete in Romania took months and months and months. There was no such thing as just going online, click, 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 putting in a credit card number, and 2 weeks later you had a visa. Like, it didn't exist. I've lived through the paper part of life. And then there was the pre-9/11 life where we could travel with anything, right? We could take so many bags, we could bring anything we wanted. You give a guy in customs a pin or a sticker, and they just let you right on through. And then 9/11 hits. By the way, that was 6 months before we hosted the Olympics in Salt Lake City. So, we went from building a certain model for the Olympic Games coming to the US to the entire travel industry, the entire security industry, the entire large gathering of people industry changed forever because of 9/11. But yeah, every country you go into culturally is different. Some of it's just really simple. Like going to Canada, mace is illegal. So we have to tell all of our athletes, take your mace out of your purse, backpack, whatever. You can't bring that in there, right? When you go to Russia, all right, they have certain things. Going down to Brazil and just realizing that if you wear a backpack or a purse or something, there's a lot of just literally drive by on mopeds, and someone's just going to grab that strap and it'll break off your shoulder and they're gone with your bag. You have to be careful in certain parts of town. But we were talking about this earlier today with a buddy of mine. And one of the biggest things right now going into LA is visas. At this moment, visas and foreign access into the US is a little difficult. And so there's a real struggle right now trying to figure out where the visa application process is going to be, what length of time is needed to get visas for athletes. We're 3 years out. But right now, all the workforce for the LA organizer, so much of the workforce is foreign. The people that activate and operate Olympic Games, we call them Olympic nomads. They're guys like myself and others who have worked in the industry forever. But they just live in whatever city that Olympic Games is being held in for 3 to 4 years. And when those games end, they pack up and they apply, but most likely they're going to be hired because they're the best in the world at it. And they just move to the next Olympic city, right? So I have friends that do that and they don't have families. They're just global, wonderful people, but they don't have roots. And so now that the Paris Games are over, all these experts that know how to do this are trying to come to LA and work, and they can't get visas. They can get like a 3 month visa, 6 month visa, but they can't get a working visa, and they can't get a 3 year visa. So everyone in the LA organizer's office, they're staring at each other going, well, we need to find domestic workers, but there's not really a workforce in the US that has that skill set, right? And so that's probably one of the biggest, most immediate struggles within the Olympic movement right now is workforce.
So, going off of that, does that create any concern for kind of like the logistics behind the Olympics and whether or not the LA is going to be able to like pull off the Olympics without a hitch?
If you were to sit in my little coffee circles, like I literally was talking to one of my former interns who is deep in the Olympic movement right now. I was talking to him today, and he's just shaking his head. He doesn't know how it's going to work. Like any event, it's going to work somehow, some way. There's all these little things, but it's still going to work. It's just not going to be maybe as glamorous or smooth. There'll be so much more chaos behind the scenes. But at the end of the day, on the TV screen, it's going to work.
We were also wondering, since or based on your experience, like how long afterwards do visitors stay in the Olympics location? And do you think that LA is going to make money off the Olympics? Because we also know that countries are trying to avoid hosting the Olympics because they lose a lot of money. But since LA is using like already built arenas, do you think that's going to make a difference?
I'll go back to staying. For a staff member, we were in the country of the games for probably 4 to 5 weeks, because you're there a little bit beforehand, and then you have the roughly 2 weeks of the games. But we also have the Paralympic Games afterwards, and so you have the changeover period, and then you have another 2 weeks of the Paralympic Games. And so if you're pulling the double and you're going to work the Olympics and the Paralympics, by the time the Paralympics are done, you just want to go home to your own bed, right? However, for the athletes love to stay in the country, right? Family flies over, and we really, really try and have the families and the athletes understand that although your family is here, your focus is the games, right? So politely say no to your parents about having breakfast and dinner with them. Focus on the games. And then when the games are over, then stay later. The trick again is visas. If your visa is tied to your accreditation and the Olympics end, then typically your visa is going to run out. So it all depends on the country. But I think every host city, host country would love for athletes and their families to stay. Because you want everybody to enjoy your city. But we've had members of our delegation, shall we say, accidentally stay too long. And now that's a little bit of an issue. So there's always that government relations piece afterwards. Like, oh man, you were here on a visa for 3 weeks and you stayed for 6 weeks, and then you have a process. But for the most part, I think most countries would love everybody to stay. LA, yes, countries lose tons of money on their Olympics. And let me correct that to where it's not necessarily the country, it's the organizing committee. So the United States is the only country in the world where the government does not fund the Olympic program, right? So that means it's private entities that have to figure this out. We, as the US Olympic and Paralympic Company, committee, we don't host the Olympic Games. There's an organization in LA, and it's the organizing committee for the LA Games. That's the group that's responsible for every dollar, every process, every organizational piece. And we, as the US Olympic and Paralympic Committee, we attend the Olympics in our own country, right? But we don't put it on. But we obviously want to do well in their US in the US on our home soil. So there's a lot of money going into it.
So you mentioned you were raised in Orange County, or that's where you grew up.
Yep.
Is there anything that you're specifically looking forward to, like having the games here?
So I was a junior in high school when the LA Games were there. I volunteered and actually, I'll say danced in the opening ceremonies. So again, I was a gymnast and we were at practice one day and this guy comes in and he had this big overcoat on and a big scarf and really flamboyant, just comes bursting in the door and we're like, what's going on over there? And he was talking to all the coaches and our coach walked over to us and he said, hey, this guy over here is the producer of the opening ceremonies. And he's been trying to get dancers to learn how to tumble. So we went out and we had about 100 male gymnasts, all high schoolers, just a whole bunch of clowns. And they started teaching us these kind of goofy little dance steps, which I'm sure we never perfected. And we were put into the opening ceremonies, basically doing a whole bunch of back handsprings and back flips and a couple goofy little dance steps. And it was a great experience. And it was my first kind of real touch and feel the Olympics. So the 80 games, remember, we boycotted. And so I didn't get to see any of the 1980 games. And then the 1976 games, I was kind of young. So it was really like, oh, wow. And at the same time, as a gymnast trying to make the Olympics. So I had this little, touch of the candy, right? And so kind of looking at it now, I've always thought that LA would be a great bookend to my Olympic experience, or at least my hands-on Olympic experience. I plan on still attending and watching the rest of my life, but probably not up for the exhausting work. But to volunteer in 84 and then be able to touch and feel and have some type of involvement in these, I think is a pretty cool Olympic career. But yeah, I'm curious of just how the organizers are going to really put it all together. The Olympics have changed. There's more security. There's more events. There's different events. I've fallen into kind of the newer emerging sports. I have deep connections in the surfing, skateboarding, climbing, BMX space. And these are all newer sports on the Olympic program. But they aren't really being embraced globally by their Olympic committees, right? So my buddies and I, we've been on a mission of trying to get the Olympic committees around the world to support these newer sports at the same level that they support basketball and gymnastics and, some of the traditional sports. And I think LA is really going to show off those newer sports in a respectable way because of so much of the Southern California culture. I mean, skateboarding, surfing, BMX, those are all born and bred Southern California sports. Did you guys watch closing ceremonies from Paris?
Yes, we did. Or I did, at least. So I
So
thought they were cool.
the closing ceremonies were cool, but the little LA segment of Red Hot Chili Peppers and Billie Eilish on the beach in Long Beach, where everybody was saying it was in Venice, but it wasn't. It was in Long Beach. It was sad, right? We have so much to do here to elevate the show. It's LA. Like, we have the capability, but like, we've got to do better than what we showed the world during the closing ceremonies. But yeah, we have a task.
And I have one more question about swimming that I've been wondering, I think, since we were starting this.
All right.
But with Olympic swimming being long course in a lot of the local pools, like long course meters, and then a lot of the local pools being like short course yards, which is something the rest of the world doesn't have, like how are other countries like looking at that from a training perspective?
It's one of the biggest things, right? So there's a lot of 25 meter pools out there, and we literally just go like that right away, right? Yep. Not worrying about you. Once we find a 50 meter pool, okay, now we'll talk to you. And so most countries won't even touch a 25 meter pool or 25 yard pool, right? 20 up, 25 yard, 50 meter. There we go. Gotta get my swimming terminology right. Yeah, they don't want short course at all. Thankfully, there's a 50-meter pool, so you guys are in the game.
Great, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. We appreciate it.
No worries. Let me know if you have anything else, and you know how to find me.
And that's a wrap on our first episode of Race to the Games, an LA 2028 podcast. A huge thanks to our first guest, Dave Stowe, for joining us, and once again to the Keck Center for International and Strategic Studies for sponsoring this podcast. And finally, thanks to you, our listeners. Catch you in the next episode.